Good morning. How are you all? Very good. So, did you have fun this week? Yeah? I'm really grateful that you're here on Friday morning at 8:30. To be honest, I would have still been in bed, I guess, but I'm really grateful that you guys are all here. So, yesterday I installed Windows 8.1 on my tablet, and I did one last demo prep. And, you know, it didn't work. So PowerShell was broken in Windows 8.1. At least not, PowerShell was not broken, but the PowerShell commands for SharePoint Online were broken. So it was like 10 o'clock at night, you know, and I had to do the demo this morning and had to do the presentation this morning. So I stayed up until 12 a.m. or whatever to get this fixed, and I fixed it. So basically what you do, thank you. So basically what you do is you copy over the PowerShell files into the right directory and everything works again. But somehow Windows 8.1 prevents this. So the automatic installation doesn't work in Windows 8.1. So lesson learned, never install a new operating system before you do a demo. At least not a couple of hours before you do the demo. So my name is Danny Beurlage. I work for a company called Wortel in Holland. I'm an Office 365 MVP. And this morning I'll take you into PowerShell for Office 365. I'll show you lots of demos. Basically what I'll do is I'll have a couple of holder slides to get things going. And from there on I'll run one script. And we'll go and examine this script and, you know, we'll learn how you can set up an entire Office 365 environment without having to log into Office 365 once. So basically we can automate nearly everything. If I would have had another hour, I would have shown you with CSOM and all these other web services how you can take it even further and create entire environments without having to log into Office 365 once and set it up and manage it all. So we're with a pretty small room. If there's any questions at all, please feel free to ask them during the session. I'll repeat them and I'll try to answer them. All right, so let's get going. First of all, who currently uses Office 365? All right, about 50% of the room. And who uses PowerShell? All right, also about 50% of the room. And who uses Office 365 and PowerShell combined? Three people. All right. Very good. So what I'll do this morning is I'll show you how you can manage your Office 365 tenant through PowerShell and what kind of commands are available and what is not. I'll show you the differences and I'll show you some tricks, especially within SharePoint Online and some other environments, how you can set it up and how you can manage your environment really quickly with PowerShell commands. So why PowerShell? Basically, it just helps you to be more productive, especially with repetitive tasks. Huh? So if you want to set up, for instance, 20 domains into Office 365, it'll take you 20 times 25 clicks is 500 clicks. You could also do one PowerShell command, and basically you can set up your domain with one PowerShell command and make that a repetitive task. So you give this one command and you'll stop and drink for a coffee. And after half an hour, you'll come back and everything's finished and you're up and running and all these domains are connected. So Office 365 basically is an environment which is being managed through the browser, unless you want to manage, for instance, Exchange Online, and then you'll use the Exchange Management Console or the browser, whatever you want, or PowerShell. And it's the great thing, or the thing I love about Office 365 is that you can choose the way you manage your tenant basically by your own preferences and, you know, how familiar you are with PowerShell. So PowerShell helps you to be more productive. Next to that, for Office 365, you will need PowerShell to set up an environment. So without using PowerShell, you wouldn't even be able to set up more advanced scenarios with Office 365, like an ADFS implementation. So if you want your users to log in with their Active Directory username and password in your Office 365 tenant, which is what most larger organizations at least do, you need to run some PowerShell commands, otherwise you will not be able to connect those two. So within the descriptions for setting up ADFS, those PowerShell commands are really clearly stated. But apart from that, almost everything can be done through the browser. So if you're setting up your PowerShell environment for Office 365, basically you'll need your base OS, which is Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows Server, really doesn't matter. It doesn't work with Windows 8.1, I figured out last night. Or you've got to do some manual labor. But your base OS, you know, needs to be in place. Next to that, you'll need your .NET Framework 4.5 for Windows 7. You'll need your Windows Management Framework 3.0. And you'll need your Microsoft Online Services Sign-In Assistant. The Online Services Sign-In Assistant makes sure you get signed into the environment. This setup is especially necessary if you're on Windows 7. Next to that, of course, you'll need all the latest updates, as always. And you'll need to run a plugin on your machine, a PowerShell plugin. So I'll show you Exchange Online PowerShell. I'll show you SharePoint Online PowerShell and Windows Azure Online PowerShell. And the Windows Azure components are not here. So basically what happens with Exchange Online is that Exchange Online runs remote PowerShell. So you'll download all the PowerShell commands as you start going. And if you start powering up your PowerShell environment and connecting to Exchange Online, all the commands are downloaded at that specific moment. So you will not need to install those commands. You will need the Windows Azure AD module for Windows PowerShell, either 32-bit or 64-bit. And you'll need the SharePoint Online Management Shell, which you'll need to install on your local machine, on which you'll use your PowerShell commands. So if you download the presentation, these boxes are all linked. So it's a pretty easy, straightforward setup. Next to that, what I'll use is I'll use the integrated scripting environment. Does anybody use the integrated scripting environment? ICE? Yeah, I love ICE. You know, basically, it gives you IntelliScript and everything, so you don't have to type in everything. But I'll start it up later on. And the first time I booted up my Windows 8 machine, I had a real big problem of getting this to work. I basically couldn't find it. So you need to set up your configuration tools, or you need to type in the entire command. Otherwise, it will not find the integrated scripting environment. All right, so let's get started. I'll switch over to my other machine with the great new start screen. All right. Okay. All right, so if you want to start up your PowerShell environment, your integrated scripting environment, what you'll do is you'll need to type in PowerShell_ICE. And from here on, you can start your integrated scripting environment. So this should be readable from the back of the room. It's loading. Here it is. Needs to connect a little bit. All right, so here we are. So from here, you can start managing your environment, basically. What I'll do is I'll log into a clean Office 365 environment, and we'll follow the setup of this Office 365 environment through a script which I was running earlier. So admin@t2013g.onmicrosoft.com. I love Madrid. Oh, don't log in, please. All right, so I've started this trial setup for Office 365 yesterday evening. So it's a clean environment. There's nothing in there. I haven't done anything at all. It's basically totally clean. So I even asked the guys if they could fake a little downtime on SharePoint Online so I could show you the extended recovery bit. So if we go to Active Directory users and groups, you'll notice that it's empty. Only the administrator, my personal account, which I use to create this tenant, is in here. For the rest, it's empty. There's no users in here. There's no mailboxes. There's no SharePoint Online sites. It's totally empty. It's totally clean. So what I've done is I work for a Microsoft partner. And one of the things that we do as soon as we set up a new Office 365 environment is we do the entire basic configuration of an environment through one PowerShell script. So it saves us a lot of time because we basically run this script and within 15 minutes we've got this entire environment being set up. Next to that, we use PowerShell to manage the environment or make specific changes. One of those changes that we have implemented for lots of customers is the automatic discovery of your SharePoint sites and the number of gigabytes being used or consumed by your SharePoint sites set off against the quota for the specific SharePoint site, and then automatically increasing or dynamically increasing the quota. And also in the process sending out an email to the administrator that his or her quota is being increased because basically the quota is being used. So those are the kind of tasks that you can do with this environment. Also, you can use it to set up new team mailboxes, etc. So I'll show you the script, and I've enhanced it a little bit. Here it is. It's about 274 lines long, but I've got a lot of slack in here, basically to stop the script during the running process. What I'll do is I'll connect to the tenant. I'll read in some CSV files, and with the CSV files and the tenant combined, I'll set up the entire SharePoint Online environment. We'll create users, we'll create contacts, we'll create distribution groups, we'll put users in the distribution groups, we'll set up retention policies, we'll set up personal archives, we'll go through all these different procedures. Just to set up your entire environment. We'll create some SharePoint sites in the Go, et cetera, et cetera. So as soon as I start running the script, I've put in these little lines here. So I need to press Enter every now and then. And I put them in basically because I wanted to stop the script and explain you what's going on and what's happening and how you can perform these tasks yourself. Of course, if you were to run a PowerShell script like this, you should get those lines out of there, otherwise the script will not run automatically and you'll need to, get out of your coffee or get away from your coffee and hit the Enter button every once and then. In order to connect to my environment, I've logged into my environment with the G account. About me, let me check that. Yeah, there it is. All right, so I'll need to change my script, and the only thing I will change is the tenant name. Here's the tenant name. So the only variable I change is the tenant name, which I need to connect to. So if I want to connect to a tenant called Wortel, or Company 1, or Company 2, or Customer A, or Customer B, basically the only thing we need to change in order for the script to run is this single line here. Next to that, we've got all these CSV files. And within all these CSV files, all sorts of variables are being stated. So the users, the contacts, the room mailboxes, the whatever, and everything is being populated automatically. So what will happen? Let me run it. I'll save it. From here on, I'll run it. All right, so I'll start off, and here it is. I'll start off with reading the variables. And the variables I'm going to read basically is the tenant name, which is tech at 2013G. I'll have the admin name, in this case admin. I'll combine the tenant name to create a URL. So in this case, the 2013G.onmicrosoft.com. And I'll create the admin username dynamically. So I'll combine the admin name and the tenant name together, and I'll use that specific account to log into the environment. So in the variable admin, I've got the basic admin name. Next to that, I've saved the password in a secure string. And basically, I do that to make sure that I don't need to type in the password every now and then. Yes, sir?
Can we get the script in the presentation?
Yes, you do. Yeah, the entire script is available to you. I've also got some other demo scripts. They're on the PowerPoint presentation, and you can download them. So one of the stupid things about Office 365 is that as soon as you connect to another environment, or as soon as you connect to SharePoint Online or Exchange Online or the Windows Azure AD, you need to type in your username and your password. And you know, if you're doing a lot of operations against different tenants or against one and the same tenant but with different operations, you'll need to store your password. So basically, in order to do that, I've created this secure string, and I'll show you how to do that because it's not something which is safe password. Here it is. It's just one line. Read host, enter the password as a secure string, and basically it converts from a secure string to a file, and the password is being stored in a text file on your local hard drive, encrypted. So users will not be able to read this specific password as soon as they open it. Right here, I'll read the password. I'll get the pass file and I'll convert it. And from there, I'll combine the password and the administration username into a new credential. And this credential is what I'll use to log into all the different environments. Apart from that, I've got a couple of CSV files. And those CSV files basically are Excel sheets which we use, or which I use, to fill in all the details of the environment I want to set up. The funny thing about Excel, of course, is that you can combine specific fields and that you can make references to other fields. And those CSV files basically look like this. So I'll go over to my documents. Where is it? TechEd. And here is one of those. I'll take the user list. Here's one of those Excel sheets. And basically, I save these Excel sheets into a CSV file. And from there on, it'll start combining all the different fields. So I've created another CSV file with actual usernames in there. And I've changed the script a little bit around so you don't have to type in the tenant name every time. And all these usernames are being used to set up the environment. So you can create all sorts of CSV files to load in all sorts of data. Basically, all data which you need to put in manually or can be done through a CSV file. Next to that, I'll connect to the SharePoint Online environment. So in the end of my script, I will need to connect to SharePoint Online. And in order to do that, I will need to connect to the tenant. The SharePoint Online tenant. And there's a little bit different. SharePoint Online works a little bit different, so you'll need the tenant name in order to set up your sites. So for instance, if I want to create a specific site in SharePoint Online, I'll need to create that site under te2013g.sharepoint.com/sites or teams. However, if I want to use PowerShell against SharePoint Online, I will need to do that against the SharePoint Online administration portal URL. So we need to perform those tasks against te2013g-admin.sharepoint.com. So one of the mistakes that a lot of users make is they try to connect against the normal SharePoint URL, and then it basically doesn't work. So within the community area, you'll see all these questions from customers asking why they cannot connect against their SharePoint Online environment. All right, I'll hit enter, and the variables have been saved. That's it. So it's a really quick operation, of course. So right now, what I'll do is I'll connect to the online service environment. In order to do that, I'll use the connect MSOL service string. And I'll use the credentials which we have stored earlier, so I do not have to type in the credentials. Next to that, I'll show the information regarding the specific tenant. Yes, sir? I'm sorry. Yes, I will do that. I will do that. However, I haven't done one operation yet. That's why I've logged into the SharePoint Online to the Office 365 environment. So right now I'll connect to the MSOL service environment and I'll show the company information. So I'll hit the enter button. And what it will do is it will execute the Connect MSOL service script, and it will show me the company information regarding this specific tenant. And this information is the information you use to set up your environment. So the first time you logged into the environment, you had to give your address and you had to give your username and your password and your technical notifications, email, etc. So in this case, the display name for the tenant is Wortel. The preferred language is English. The postal code, I created the tenant in England. So I had to put in a different postal code. My telephony number and some notification emails regarding users and how they can be notified. All right, so right now I'll show the account, SKUs. And SKU is a Microsoft term, it's a Microsoft acronym for the licenses connected to the environment. So basically I want to show a basic operation about how many licenses are connected to the environment and how many licenses are actually being used. So if we go back to the environment, here it is, licensing. Every test environment, every Office 365 test environment trial is being created with 25 licenses for 1 month. So your base licenses will be 25, and in this case it's 25, which are available at no cost, and I've used one license for the administrator. So if I run the script, here it is, the get MSOL account SKU is the operation which I will use to get the licenses. If I'll run the script, here it is, I'll get all the details regarding the environment. In this case, the account name is C2013G. I'll see the GUID, which I will need if I want to run specific operations from, for instance, a partner ID. And I'll see the active units and the consumed units. So the active units in this case are 25, and the consumed unit, of course, is just one. So if I run these scripts from a normal PowerShell screen, and you know I can get all the different information nicely aligned in tables if I want. But in this case, because we're running the script and I'm showing you what's happening, I've chosen to show all the details regarding every operation that I'm running. All right. So the next thing I'll do is I'll create the Office 365 users. And again, if we go back to the Office 365 environment, and I'll click Users in Central Administration, only one user has been created at this point, which is my own personal user, which I use to set up the tenant. The user file, which I have created earlier, and which I've stored in the variable user list, with the basic operation of user list and a reference to the CSV file, is being read right over here. And then for every object in my CSV file, I run this specific operation. Normally, I'll put this on one line. However, I've not put this on one line, but put it below each other so it's more readable. And if I'll show you, if we'll go to the specific file, I'll open it. Here it is. Here are all the details which I'll use to actually create this environment. So these are the users, the display names, et cetera, et cetera. And all these users will be created in the environment in the end. All right, I will not save this. So I'll press Enter. And what it will do right now is it will run through the CSV file. And for every column which I put in my CSV file, it will create a, or for every row, it will create one user. With the first name, which was stated in my column first name, et cetera, et cetera. For my user principal name, I will use the user principal name which I've created in my Excel sheet, and I will combine this with the URL which I've put on top of my script. So in the CSV file, I will not put the URL for my specific tenant, which will give me the ability to use this script on different tenants, of course. Next to that, I'm combining the display name, the city, the country, et cetera, and I'm assigning a license right over here. So if you're in an environment with different licenses, with different SKUs, with, for instance, Office 365 E3, E1, and K1 SKUs, you'll need to customize this according to the specific license that you're using. So if you run the get SKU script, you'll get all the different license options available to you. And you can use those different license options to create your users and assign a license straight from the top. But you'll need to use that once. One of the lines which, or one of the operators which most people forget when creating users is the usage location. And the usage location is actually required in order to activate the users. So without this usage location, you will not be able, or users will not be able to sign into the environment. Basically, what Microsoft is doing, based on different countries, is based on the usage location, they will give you specific functionality or they will take out specific functionality. So for instance, if you're in China or if you're in Afghanistan, your users will not get a link. But for us Europeans, you know, there's no problem at all, and all services are available all year round. All right, so I've created all these different users, and the output is being shown here. Here are the different passwords, so if you want, you can actually start logging into this environment and start playing around with one of those users. And if we go back to the environment, here was my single user. I'll hit the refresh button. And what you'll see is all these users which I've created in my script, or which I've used in my script, are actually created within the environment. So if I log into Astrid Zaal, you'll see that she has the Office 365 Plan E3 license connected to her. If we go to her settings, oh, it's not responding. Oh, come on. Let me refresh this. I've got another bug in Windows 8.1. So if I would click on the details, and if this starts happening, I'll use Chrome. If I click on the details, I'll get all the other details which are connected to this specific user. All right. I'll go back. Okay, so the next operation I'm doing is that I'm connecting to Exchange Online Remote PowerShell. And with this connection, basically what will happen is I'll import a new session and I'll use the psoutlook.com/PowerShell to get all the different scripts and load them into my computer. In order to do that, I'll need the credential, which we specified earlier. If I haven't specified the credential in the credential variable, I would need to log into that, and I'll allow redirection. Next to that, I'll import the PowerShell session, and I can start working against Exchange Online PowerShell and creating all the commands over there. So most of the functionality with Exchange Online on-premise is available in Exchange Online in Office 365. So Exchange on-premise and Exchange Online are pretty similar to each other. However, you will not be able to perform all tasks. So all PowerShell commands related to databases and servers and so on are not available in Exchange Online. Basically, you are not able to get your database down or, you know, start formatting that or whatever. So I'll hit enter. And what it will do is it will connect to the ps.outlook.com/PowerShell environment. I'll get a warning that my connection is being redirected. And right here, you'll see the server which it's connecting to right now. And it'll get all the objects. It'll load all the objects in my local PowerShell environment. In this case, it will give me a warning that, you know, there's one verb which is not, which hasn't been formatted correctly. And right now, I can start using Exchange Online PowerShell, remote PowerShell. So the great thing about this is that you do not need to load in anything, or you do not need to install anything prior to using the PowerShell commands, and Microsoft can update all the different PowerShell commands at the get-go, so they can actually use this to customize the entire environment. All right. So what I'll do now is I'll create my mail contacts. And of course, depending on the setup that you want to use, and for instance, if you've connected your Office 365 environment with their sync or with ADFS, you do not need to use this. Also, you would not need to use, or you would not need to create your users in the environment. But let's say you do not have their sync set up, and you export your users from your CRM system or whatever every night or every day, so you could run this operation. So I've created a CSV file which has the same basic setup as the CSV file which I showed you earlier, and I'll create the users with a first name and last name and an external email address. Of course, I could have put in the company name and telephony number, et cetera, in here as well, but I didn't want to spend my time typing. So we go back to the environment, and I'll log into the Exchange portal. You'll see the Exchange Management shell right here from the browser. And within this Exchange Management shell, the users which I've created earlier are being shown right here with all the details, which I did want to show you a little bit earlier. If we go over to Contacts, you'll see that the entire contacts list right now is empty. And I'm reading in about 10 or so different contacts, so not too many. So it'll only take a small time. But it will iterate through this CSV file, and it will create all these different users with this external email address. The results are being shown below. And again, I could have put in all this additional information, but I chose not to because I didn't want to spend my time on creating all these different operations. All right, so basically what it will do is it will create the specific user. It will connect an external email address. It will use this display name, which I've created here. And all the users have been created in the environment. So if I refresh this, here they are. And again, some of the questions we get from our customers a lot is to synchronize their CRM system or whatever with the online environment. So we'll set this up in a script which is running every night. A dump of their CRM system is being created, and the Exchange contacts online are being created as well. But there are different possibilities to do this, and this is just one. All right. What we'll do is we'll create these security mail-enabled groups. And of course, they can be dynamically filled with all sorts of users, etc. But in this case, I'll just create the groups and we'll fill them in with users later on. So in order to do that, I've created a CSV file again. And we'll start up a new distribution group. I'll create the distribution group as a security group. And I'll connect an email address to this distribution group. Later on, these distribution groups can be used not only to send email to them, but also, for instance, in your SharePoint Online environment for setting permissions. You could also create groups through Windows Azure Active Directory PowerShell, and those groups would be created right here in your Office 365 Admin Center under Security Groups. However, those security groups are not mail-enabled. So if you want to create a security group which is mail-enabled and could be used within SharePoint Online, you would need to set up those security groups in your Exchange environment. So if you use your security groups through Windows Azure AD, they will not be mail-enabled. If you use Exchange Online to create those security groups, they will be mail-enabled. So this one is empty. Later on, it will show all the different groups. Also, within Exchange Online, if we go back, the groups, again, are empty. And I will run the script. And it will iterate through all the different lines I've got in my CSV file, and it will create the different security groups. And it will show me all the information regarding all these specific groups which I've created. One thing you should notice, and especially if you're troubleshooting an environment, is the server, the Exchange server, which a Office 365 user or mailbox lives on. And it's especially helpful if you want to check out what's happening and why one user is working and why another user is not working. So you could use PowerShell to get information about the Exchange Online server, which the actual user lives on. And this is a detail which is actually being shown right here and here. So I could see the Active Directory environment in Exchange Online or in Office 365 where the user has been created, and the Exchange Store where the user actually lives on in Exchange Online. All right. The next operation I want to do is I want to look at the member list, and I want to create the users, or I want to add the users to the different mail-enabled security groups. So what I'll do is I'll add a distribution group member, and in this case, I'll add him through a CSV file. I could also have done this dynamically. For instance, all users which are in the marketing department, add them dynamically to the marketing department distribution list or whatever. In this case, I'm just going to do it manually. So hit enter, adding users to the security-enabled mail groups. I'll iterate through all the different groups, and I'll show you the result after this. So I'm adding all the different users in my CSV file. Here they are. And right now, what we've done is we've created those groups, and we've added the users to the groups. So if I hit a refresh button, you'll see three groups which have been created, the finance, marketing, and sales groups. And if we open up one of these groups, here you are, and we'll look at membership. I've added four users to this specific group. Next to that, apart from these basic operations which I've just done against these groups, all these settings which are being shown over here on the left-hand side can be done through PowerShell. So every setting which you do against the graphical UI or the web UI can be automated through your PowerShell commands. So not only adding specific users or creating a group or whatever, but also specifying all settings in your online environment. So the next thing I want to do is I want to create some shared mailboxes. So I love shared mailboxes in Office 365. Basically, they're free, and they have a 5 gigabyte limit. So one of the things I used to do until about 2 or 3 weeks ago is as soon as somebody left the company, I would convert their mailbox into a shared mailbox, because we could still store their mailbox and access their mail in this free mailbox, without having to pay a license. However, Microsoft has changed their policy, and right now you can have archive mailboxes for users who have left the company, so you would not need to perform this operation anymore. Until a couple of weeks ago, that's one of the standard procedures we would use to do for a lot of organizations. So right now, what I will do is I will, again, with my shared mailbox list, which is a CSV file, I'll create the shared mailbox. I'll create the name, the alias, and I'll use the alias to create my primary SMTP address. I'll combine the alias with a URL. And next to that, I'll add some mailbox permissions to the shared mailboxes. Without you adding mailbox permissions to a shared mailbox, nobody will be able to add those or to access those shared mailboxes. So that's something that you should not forget. All right, I'll hit enter. The different procedures will be performed in the background. And if we go back in the meanwhile to the Office 365 environment, if we go to shared mailboxes, right now they're empty. Okay, everything's being performed. And if we hit the refresh button, just one shared mailbox has been created, the info at mailbox, and one user has been connected to this specific environment. All right, next to that, I'll create some rooms, some meeting rooms, for instance. So what I'll do is I'll just read out the CSV file and create all these new mailboxes, and I'll specify the room attribute. And from there on, all the different room mailboxes will be created. So let me open up resource mailboxes Here in the back, three mailboxes have been created at this point. Up, six or seven. They're starting to come in. All right. And we're done. So I've created all these 10 different room mailboxes, which can actually be used within the organization to schedule a different meeting. Creating a room mailbox is one, but you'll need to give your users access to this specific room mailbox, otherwise they will not be able to book any rooms. Next to that, you'll need to set the policy. So for instance, do you want to show the subject and the notes of a specific meeting within your room? Or within your meeting room or your resource, or do you want to strip out the subject and all these specific details? So this is something that a lot of people tend to forget or tend to set up differently, and if you set it up incorrectly, all details from the meeting request in which your room was included are included in your resource mailbox or in your meeting, so everybody within the whole company will be able to read out what is being discussed in this specific meeting. So what I'll do is that first of all, I'll set the permissions for the room mailbox, and from there on, I will define the views on this specific room mailbox. In this case, I will show the organizer. I will not delete the comments, and I will not delete the subject. So all different. Different calendar items which are being stored in the room mailboxes are being done automatically. After we've done these basic procedures, what I'll do is I'll get all the mailboxes, I'll filter for room, and from there on I'll set it to automatic processing. So every request which is being done against the room will be automatically accepted and being stored in the specific mailbox. So I'll run this command. Here we go, setting up room mailbox permissions. And right now the permissions are being set in the back. So setting permissions, defining views, and after that defining the processing setting for the different room mailboxes. So if we open up one of these room mailboxes, here we go. We are able to set, see all these different settings in all the different room mailboxes which I've created just a minute ago. All right, cancel. I'll go back, and we should be done every minute. Here we go, defining the processing settings for the room mailboxes, and we're done. All right, next to that, what I want my users to do is be able to define a rooms list from their Outlook calendars and select all the different rooms in which they want to book a specific appointment. So I'll create a rooms list, and I'll add the specific rooms to, or the specific specific rooms which I've created earlier to this rooms list. Next to that, I'll create an equipment list, and this basically is more of the same. So I'll read out the equipment list variable, which is a CSV file, and I'll create all the new mailboxes with parameter equipment. And in the back, what will happen is all the resources, so next to the meeting rooms, also projectors and shared cars and all these other resources will be created for me in the back. All right, we're almost done. And let me see, I'll refresh this once more, demo laptops and shared cars and what have you. All right. From there on, what we'll do is we'll create personal archives. So especially E3 users, what they'll get is they'll get a basic mailbox, which has a limit of 25 gigabytes. And next to that, they'll get a shared mailbox, which officially is 100 gigabytes, but unofficially is as large as you want. So this personal archive, basically, if you create it, users can migrate their mail into this shared mailbox. Another reason why you want it in this personal archive, another reason why you want to create a personal archive is that you don't want your OST files to be big. So you want to automatically get all these mails out there. And of course, with Outlook 2013, you can specify the size the maximum size of your OST file. However, you could also automate this process through PowerShell, for instance, and archive all emails after 90 days, for instance, into their personal archives. So what I'll do here is I'll create I'll get all the different user mailboxes, and for each user mailbox, I'll add a personal archive. So this personal archive will get the name personal archive username. And from there on, I'll enable the different user mailboxes. So if we go back to the environment, I'll click the mailboxes. And if we select a specific mailbox, in this case, for instance, Jelle Janssen, here it is. The in-place archive thing has been disabled. So the basic setup of your environment is that the basic setup of your environment is that your personal archives are not enabled. So we'll go through that. And what it will do again is it will read all the mailboxes in my environment. So it's a dynamic script. And from there on, for each user, it will create the personal archive and it will enable the personal archive against these specific users. If I were to log into the environment, and I can show you that in a second, once it's done. If I were to able to log into one of the users, what it will do is it will actually show me the personal archive right from my Outlook web access. So let's open this up. All right, I'll go to Outlook. It's the first time that I'm logging in. I haven't used the environment before. Save, and I'll log into the administrator mailbox. Oh, here's another bug with Windows 8.1 IE 11. This is not the way this should look like. All right. Okay, so if I want to show it, I'll go over to Google Chrome. Yeah, you should wait a little bit. And again, I've learned my lesson. I will never update my computer before doing a demo again. Never again. 2013g.onmicrosoft.com. I love Madrid. Here we go. I'll select Outlook. And here's my setup. All right, this is what it should look like. Another thing is it's screwed up the screen sizes, etc. But so it's not really clear. But all right, so here's my personal archive, the personal archives which I've created earlier. Huh? Personal archives are great, but you need to teach your users to get their mails out of their mailbox and migrate them over to their personal archives. And again, users are end users, and basically, a lot of them, you can teach them 20 times, you can teach them 50 times, but they will not do it. So we'll give them a little hand, and we'll do it automatically for those users. So we'll go back to the script. What we'll do here is we will create an email retention policy with an auto move after 90 days. So basically, all email which comes into their basic mailbox will be migrated over to their to their archive mailbox after 90 days since this policy has been created. So right here, what I will do is I will enable, and I will run it because this will take some time. I will enable organization customizations, and enabling organization customizations is important if you want to create new retention policies, in-place discovery, or in-place hold, etc., etc. I will create a new retention policy tag name, which is archive all after 90 days. The retention action is move to archive for all emails. The age limit for retention is 90 days. Of course, this could be 180 or 360 or whatever. And the comment is that all mails are being archived after 90 days. Next to that, what I'll do is I'll create the retention policy. So the name is archive after 90 days. retention policy tagline is archive all 90 days. And from here on, what I'll do is I'll get the mailbox and I'll specify that we will need to set the policy archive after 90 days. And I've made a mistake somewhere. I will not try to fix the mistake right now, but I'll show you what's happening. Probably I've made a spelling error somewhere. If we open up one of these mailboxes, all right, let me see. Here we are, under the mailbox features. This user has not logged in. Right now, the policy which we've created has been created and has not been set to the specific user. So it must have made a spelling error somewhere. But basically what you'll do is you'll assign this policy which we have created next to this or to the specific mailbox, and from there on it will be used to archive all the mails from this specific user after 90 days. Of course, you should tell your users that you're setting this policy and how they could go back and get all their information. And if they're using Outlook Web Access in the same search, all mail will be shown. And if they're connected, all mail will be shown as well. All right, so enough for the Exchange Online PowerShell. What I'll do next is I'll go over to SharePoint Online. And we'll do some SharePoint Online stuff. So there are about 740 SharePoint commands against an on-premise 2013 SharePoint environment. There are about 40 commands for a SharePoint Online environment. So they're not up to bar right now. And Microsoft does need to do a little bit of investment. But actually what they had to do is they had to rewrite the entire PowerShell scripting environment for 2013 to get it to work with Office 365. Basically, because you would do your PowerShell scripts against the tenant with an on-premise environment. And of course, you cannot do your PowerShell scripts against the local tenant because then you would need Microsoft's credentials in order to do that. So they've created all these new PowerShell scripts, and you know, right now they've made available about 40 of these PowerShell commands, and they come in handy. Especially if we want to create a site, it'll take some time, of course, before all those different sites are being created. So what they've done is they've also created some new parameters. And one of those parameters is the no-wait parameter. So you can actually give a command to SharePoint Online, and in the back it'll start performing all these tasks. And you don't need to wait, or you don't need to stop with your PowerShell script, and you can continue on with all these other different operations. So what I'll do right now, all right, connecting to the SharePoint Admin Center, is I will connect to the SPO service with the URL which we've created earlier, again with the minus admin URL and the credential which I'm showing right here. So the connection has been, let me check, let me press enter. The connection has been created, and right now I'm creating all these SharePoint Online sites. So even giving the command against SharePoint Online takes a little bit of time, so this gives me the opportunity to go into the SharePoint environment. And right now what you'll see is I'll go over to site collections, and it'll start getting all the different site collections which are available in my SharePoint Online environment. The site collections will be shown below, I hope. And if you look on top, here it is. Here's the TE2013G minus admin URL. So the minus admin URL for the SharePoint Admin Center is the URL which you will actually need to log into the environment. So it's still waiting to create all these different sites. And what I'm doing to create a specific site is for each site to create in my CSV file, I'll go over to the URL. And this is the URL without the admin parameter. I'll specify the owner, which in this case is the administrator. I'll specify the storage quota, which is, you know, depending on what I've specified in my CSV file. I'll create the title. I'll select the template. In order to create a template, I would need the small name, so STS-01, for instance. There's a PowerShell command to get all the templates in your tenant as well. and I'll create a resource quota. Next to that, I've added the no wait parameter, so I don't have to wait for a long time. But I'm not sure if you noticed, it took me about a minute to set up this operation against the SharePoint Online tenant. So it must be the networking connection or whatever, which I've got right here. So what you see right here is that it's created two sites, and if I hit the refresh button in my tenant, it will load all the different sites again. And you'll see that, those two sites, the marketing site, the finance site, and in this case, the customer site, are being created in the back. So I'll increase this environment. It's still loading. Oh, here we are. So the finance and the marketing site are being created in the back. And again, this will take about a minute or so. So we go back, and one of the reasons why it might be a little bit slow is because there was a problem with the SharePoint Online environment at this point. Here it is. They're in extended recovery. And there's a backlog for creating the My Site. So this shouldn't be a problem for creating the traditional sites. So we go back to the tenant. And again, all the operations are being performed in the background. So the customer site and et cetera, are being configured as we go. The storage quota is being set up, and this is the storage quota which I've specified in my CSV file. And if we go over to the CSV file, the sites list CSV file, one of the things which I've specified, which I've told you earlier, is the, don't need this command, I will not use it. Here's the template name. And the template name, STS-0, is the template name, again, which you will be able to get with your SharePoint Online Web Templates command. So all these sites have been created, and for my next operation, what I will do is within those SharePoint sites, I will create a new site group with the permission level of contribute, and I will add the specific group which we've created earlier, the email enable or the mail enable distribution group, a security group, and I'll put this in the groups which I have created in my SharePoint Online tenant. So a scenario where this is especially useful is within a lot of universities and other educational organizations which we're serving. What basically is being done is dynamically all these SharePoint sites for teachers are being created based on the classes that they're actually giving. So in the back end, all these site collections are being provisioned for all these users or all these user groups. And based on the dynamic groups, which are in the Active Directory, of course, all the users get access to all these different groups. So as soon as a teacher starts teaching a new class, a site collection will be dynamically created for them, and a template will be selected connecting to this specific class. And of course, you can think of all sorts of scenarios where this would be especially useful. So let's check if we're done. Yeah, we're done. So again, what I'll do is I will go into this site. I will create the group finance, and I will add the mail-enabled distribution group against the group finance. So here we go. All right. And it will run in the background. Oh. Yeah, here's my mistake. All right. This is why I shouldn't do hard coding, but I wanted to add this yesterday, and I should not have done that. All right. So what I'll do is I'll basically copy this over, and I'll paste this, and here we go. All right. So what happened is I had the URL hard-coded in here. And again, I should not hard-code the URL. But I had it hard-coded in here. And, you know, it took a different tenant name, and it didn't work. And here we go. I forgot one, I think. So it didn't work with creating those specific sites. All right. So what we'll do is we'll log into the finance team site through my Google Chrome. And here we go, going to the team site. And what you will notice is that an additional group has been created. Always running this site. An additional group has been created, so I'll go into the site settings. And here are the people in groups. And here is the finance group. And there's an error with adding the finance group to the finance members to the group. But again, I will not troubleshoot right now. The command is pretty straightforward, so you'll be able to look into it pretty fast and troubleshoot what's been going on. All right. So right now, my entire tenant has been set up. I've created my users. I've created my security mail-enabled user groups. I've added users to all the different groups. I've created my contacts. I've created my rooms list. I've created my equipments list. I've set up different SharePoint Online sites. I've created groups in my SharePoint Online sites. I've added users to my SharePoint Online groups. I've shown the different tenant environment. I, you know, worked with the SharePoint Online environment or with the Office 365 environment. Basically, this is the power of PowerShell against Office 365. You are able to automate nearly everything with a PowerShell in your Office 365 environment if you choose to do so. And the commands are pretty straightforward. They're pretty straightforward in handling or creating specific specific commands. I've set up a tenant right now, and one of the things that we do as well is we automate specific tasks based on a specific tenant, nightly or, you know, what have you. And one of those commands or one of those tasks that we do, especially for SharePoint Online, is that we dynamically increase, for instance, the storage space connected to each site. So if we look here, what you'll see in the site collections is that all the site collections are right here. You'll see the storage quota. And what will happen if somebody hits the storage quota is that they will not be able to store any more data in this SharePoint site. We want to keep the storage quota as low as possible, basically, because we only have a limited amount of storage quota available to us. But we also want to dynamically increase that so we don't get calls from users that they are not able to store anything or whatever. So if we go into the site collection properties, what you'll see right here is you'll see the storage usage. And getting the storage usage takes a little bit of time. So if we would need to iterate through hundreds or thousands of sites, it would take a little bit of time every time to calculate the storage usage. Because what PowerShell is actually doing, or what the UI in this case is actually doing, is it's going into the site, getting the usage, calculating the usage, and pointing them back over to the PowerShell environment. So that's why the usage is not being shown right here. If we perform a basic operation, so get SPO site, if you run that, what we'll see here is we'll see all the different sites which we've created earlier, and we'll see the storage quota connected to all these different sites. So again, it will not show the usage quota. In order to do this dynamically, I've created a script which is called fix quota. And what I will do here is I will get all the SPO sites, I will get the detailed information regarding this site, and this script will be a little bit longer to run. It will feature the URL, the current storage usage, and the storage quota connected to it. So here's my command. I will run it. All right. And what you see right now is that here are the different sites, the current storage usage, and the quota connected to it. And from there on, of course, you can create a script which will read out all the different quotas, the different usages, and then from there on can increase the different quotas as to your liking. So in order to demo this, what I can do is I can also dynamically decrease the quota which is being used. But this is basically the script I will run for that. So this is a new tenant, and basically nothing is being used at this moment. So I'll log into a different tenant. I'll do it from here. Connect SPO service. Because I want to connect against a different tenant, I will not use my credentials dynamically stored, so I'll use a test tenant, Office 365 BWA demo dot on Microsoft.com. All right, I will need to specify my admin name. So this is why I store these credentials in a different file. I'll save this for later on. All right. Remember that I told you about making a mistake with a URL, connecting to a specific URL? I just made it. So I specified the URL, and I forgot the minus admin. All right, so I'll do it again. Connect SPO service. Here you go. Hop. I hate typing. Here we go. Minus admin. Admin at office365bwa demo.onmicrosoft.com. I love Amsterdam. Oh, come on. Oh, you're right. Thank you, sir. Last time. .com. All right. I love Amsterdam. Oh. I guess so. You know what? The script is available in my PowerPoint. It works. And I will not do this again. All right. So, is there any questions? I'm sorry, I didn't get the last part of your question. Is it so your question is if it's possible to get the users directly from your local Active Directory. And we're currently using CSV files, so why not make a connection to a local Active Directory? Absolutely, that's possible. And I could use my PowerShell to connect into the Active Directory, get my users over there, and then create them over into my Office 365 environment. And to be honest, to create users in an Office 365 environment through CSV files is, you know, it looks kind of troublesome. If you want to do that scenario, please use DearSync. Microsoft has created this tool, which is called DearSync. And what DearSync actually does, it's a forefront identity management implementation. You install it on a local server, and it creates a connection between your Active Directory and your SharePoint your Office 365 environment, and your users are dynamically being synchronized between your local Active Directory and your online environment. Not only your users, but your groups, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One of the options in DearSync is to also synchronize their passwords. And 9 out of 10 organizations do not want to do that because they want to use ADFS after DearSync to have their users log into their local Active Directory environment. But if you wanted to, and if you don't want to go through the hassle of setting up ADFS, you could also synchronize users' passwords into the cloud. So users would then use your local username and password to log into Office 365. So you wouldn't need PowerShell to do that, but you could use DearSync to perform this operation. Did I answer your question? All right. But if you wanted to, yes, you could also, through PowerShell, connect to your local Active Directory, get the users out there, and then create them dynamically in Office 365, if that's a scenario where you do not want to set up DearSync, for instance. Are there any more questions? All right. Thank you very much. Please do not forget to fill in the evaluation form, and please forgive me for the last mistake I made when answering my evaluation form. Thanks a lot, and have a great last day. Thank you.